Hi, I'm Pat Duggins, Alabama Public Radio News, and this is APR Presents. This week marks 1 year since the tornadoes that tore through parts of Alabama, including Tuscaloosa. Over 200 people were killed, and the rebuilding process is just getting underway. On April 27th of last year, there was at least some inkling of what was coming.
I'm Ryan Vasquez, Alabama Public Radio News. After violent storms ripped through northern and central Alabama earlier today, many were left without power. Alabama Power reported as many as 270,000.
That was at 4:30. Less than an hour later, it hit. This video was taken by student storm chasers with the University of Alabama's Meteorological Society.
It was scary but awe-inspiring at the same time. Seeing something of that magnitude go through and just do the amount of damage it did.
Chris Malfitano is a sophomore from Mansfield, Ohio.
We had been tracking it all day, and we actually got to see the whole storm come and then touch down and make its entire path.
Hey, I've got plenty of video on this, but... No, we're getting ready to run.
As windy as Chris Malfitano's video footage sounds, he and his friends were somewhat safe on a hill overlooking Tuscaloosa. However, some of his classmates in town were in the middle of it.
It was terrifying. It was large. It was like something out of a movie, honestly. It looked like Twister was coming.
Rebecca Kelly is a junior from Birmingham.
I was just getting out of my car and going into my apartment, and it was at the apartment gates, so I got to see it directly. There's a lot of stuff flying around. It looked like Twister. That's all I can say. I mean, I expected a cow to come flying at me or something like that. It was massive.
The most memorable part was a green car door I saw tumbling in the air.
Daniel Petrowski is a sophomore from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Right after it passed through, it was just very quiet, very still, and then me and my neighbors started running up 15th Street to aid and do what we could to help the survivors.
Months of cleanup followed, as well as big questions on what comes next. Tuscaloosa city leaders brought in consultants and took public comment on how the damaged area should be rebuilt. Some things can be saved. Some things may never be the same. I'm Pat Duggins, Alabama Public Radio News.
And I'm Ryan Vasquez in the Tuscaloosa neighborhood of Alberta. It's been a year since this community took a hard hit from last April's tornado. 1 year later, homeowners and area businesses are still trying to rebuild. Donald Crummy remembers that night. He was at home with his family when the storm struck.
I was sitting in my living room watching television, and my wife said, "You need to come in the hallway." And I said, "Nah." I said, we're fine. And just as I closed my hallway door, the front of my house is almost demolished, you know, and that could have been me. Today, I think about them small things. I don't take anything for granted.
Many homes were damaged or destroyed as an EF4 tornado ripped through Tuscaloosa County, claiming the lives of dozens of people. Rescue and recovery crews dotted the streets in Alberta. Now, a year later, it's not uncommon to hear the sounds of hammering and construction in the Tuscaloosa neighborhood.
A new fire station, new police station. The Alberta Baptist Church is coming back with a $6.5 million facility.
Tuscaloosa City Councilman Kip Tyner, whose district includes Alberta.
The amenities at J.C. Park are being incredible. A water pad, skateboard park, three gymnasiums, Nick's kids involved with it. It's going to be just really special.
While getting Alberta back to normal is important, Tyner is really keen to rebuild the neighborhood's communities better and safer than they were before.
1/7 of the city's crime was blown away completely by the tornado. So that's why I don't apologize for 1 second to trying to be as tough as nails on how we build back. We can't have these cheap fly-by-night structures being thrown up and sold because people need a place to live.
It's hard to drive down many of the streets in Alberta without seeing a building permit in a window or front lawn. On top of construction companies, organizations like Habitat for Humanity and Samaritan's Purse are chipping in to rebuild the community.
It's like you're seeing changes through the week. You see a house being started, and then you see a house finished.
Again, Donald Crummy.
Me and my wife now, we caught ourselves. We actually ride around more now. You can just see how the changes are slowly just being set in place.
One thing that's a bit harder to hear in Alberta is the sound of kids in Alberta Elementary School. The school was decimated by the storm on April 27th, and children now attend school at nearby Tuscaloosa Magnet School. Fourth grade teacher Linda Hargrove says it's a little different conducting class in a post-April 27th world.
If the sky gets dark, if we hear thunder, and this is coincidental that last week was the Blue Angels practicing for their air shows, and the kids heard them practicing as they flew over the school, and I could see the terror in the eyes just going, oh my gosh, what's that?
And it's not just the students who are left with the permanent reminder of that day. While Alberta Elementary was closed on April 27th due to the threat of bad weather, Principal Brenda Parker says many of the faculty and staff gets wary when skies turn gray.
No place is really safe when we think about the fact that had we been in school, typically public buildings are considered safe havens, safer than home. When you've had that kind of experience, then there's no place that gives you that sense of security. So I know that the building, that all of my faculty and staff are anxious.
Alberta Elementary is planning to rebuild at their old location, but don't expect to be back there for some time. Principal Parker says that when Alberta Elementary reopens, it's the students that'll benefit the most.
There is talk of the library perhaps sharing the site with us, a library in that area where there was none before. So I think it will be a better place now for children to grow up in, more of an idyllic setting. It's just unfortunate that they've had to suffer through this in order for it to happen.
There is a positive vibe from everyone you speak to in Alberta. While not the tightest of communities before the tornadoes, everyone today can only speak of rebuilding with the ideal of community in mind. From the schools to the businesses to the individual homeowners, all have the common goal of seizing on the opportunity to improve Alberta. Again, Kip Tyner.
I'm really concentrating on building back neighborhoods, building back residential areas. It's not just a house here and a house there, but actually building neighborhoods. Neighborhoods build a stronger community.
Tyner says Alberta used to be a tale of two neighborhoods separated by a common street. But after April 27th, he hopes that Alberta can move forward, rebuilt as one community.
A lot of the rebuilding work following the tornado involves homes and buildings, but there was other forms of damage as well. I'm Mackie Martin in Tuscaloosa. Many survivors of last year's tornado still find themselves reliving the storm over and over again through the emotional trauma of the event, which began as reports of the approaching storm hit the airwaves.
If you're just now joining us, I'm Chief Meteorologist Richard Scott, along with WVUA's Daniel Sparkman and the entire WVUA News team, watching a dangerous situation across the city of Tuscaloosa, what could be a tornado off to the southwest.
Early in the evening of April 27th, 2011, WVUA-TV weatherman Richard Scott stood in front of a large screen that said it all. Images from the station's tower camera showed lightning flashes in the dark gray sky just beyond Bryant-Denny Stadium.
We're going to stay on air as long as we can before this tornado itself moves over us. It looks like it's going to be moving over us pretty shortly.
Just 1 mile away in Alberta City, resident Shirley Cottrell was asleep, but not for long. This is a monthly test of Tuscaloosa's emergency sirens. What Cottrell heard was real.
And I woke up, and I kept hearing this noise, and I said, 7th Street must be burning. Something must be burning down around here. That siren is going off. And then all at once, I heard that sound. That siren changed tunes. I said, oh, no, that's not a fire truck. That's something else.
Cottrell got out of bed just in time to watch the wind knock down a transformer near her home, singeing her grass. The windows in her house started to crack, and the wind picked up.
So we have an emergency situation. This tornado is now on the ground. It looks like it's a now sizable tornado. We're watching live from our Tuscaloosa Tower camera. Get in your safe place right now. We have a tornado on the ground.
Suddenly, the EF4 tornado was on top of Alberta City. Cottrell didn't make it to a safe spot in time.
I went up that hall in the middle of the hall, and I got thrown up against the wall on the right side of the hall. And I got up on my hands, knees, and everything else, and I went in that fresh room to the left, and then went in that bedroom. But as I was going in that room, instead of me running, it seemed like I was just in slow motion.
Cottrell made it through the storm with some scrapes and bruises. She was also on Tuscaloosa's list of missing people, number 148. She fixed her house and still lives in Alberta City today. But even though she's back in her home, Cottrell says she's permanently changed.
When I see bad weather now, you know, like the clouds making up, like this time of day, and it just gets dark and everything, I don't necessarily panic like I have been doing, but I try to find me a spot where I can find a safe spot, because you never know what may develop from that.
Cottrell says bad weather will make her so nervous that she'll put her day on hold and stay inside until it passes over. But it's not just the weather that makes Cottrell anxious. Soon after the storms, looting became commonplace in many areas, including Alberta City. Cottrell says nearly a year later, there are still looters in the neighborhood. She says she feels like a prisoner in her own home.
If I get up six times, if I want the water, go to the bathroom, I check all my doors. I turn on all, I go in all the rooms and check to see if the curtains have changed. You know, they look different if someone come in.
A lot of people have common reactions to a natural disaster or any kind of trauma.
Dr. Cheryl McComb-Smith is director of hospital psychiatry at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
That can include being very anxious, fearful, tearful, lack of sleep, even some flashbacks and nightmares. And for most people, those go away over time, over the next couple weeks. If they continue to cause problems over the next couple months, then that's when they need more help.
Here at the UAB Emergency Room, McComb-Smith has been studying stress rates among tornado victims. The effects mirror those of post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, which can occur among troops in war zones. The symptoms include flashbacks of the event, feeling avoidant or numb, and being irritable.
We've done some preliminary work here after the first 3 months, and we're right in line with that of people who were direct survivors. Of about a quarter of the people had significant symptoms of PTSD, and we're looking at that over the next year to see how that declines.
McComb-Smith says for most people, symptoms do get better over a year or two. She says there's many ways survivors can cope on a day-to-day basis, including talking to others.
I'm going through therapy because they offer free therapy for the tornado victims who were hit in those bad hit areas.
Shirley Cottrell says she goes to therapy every Monday to talk about her experience and learn how to adjust to the changes in her life nearly 1 year after the April 27th storm.
We ask that you just sign in here. We've got cards. Please fill out to us what you like, what you love, put it in the basket.
I'm Pat Duggins at Tuscaloosa City Hall, where residents file into the main council chamber. Tonight is their chance to speak out on what their town will look like following last April's tornadoes. Artist renderings are propped up on easels showing new versions of neighborhoods like Alberta and Rosedale, both of which were hit hard by the storm. Lib Davis lives in Alberta, and she came tonight with some big concerns.
My biggest fear was that I was going to see more high-rise buildings for residential. And that, you know, especially in Alberta, my concern is for high-density student housing.
The drawings for Tuscaloosa's facelift all come from a Kansas City architectural firm called BNIM, and many of the ideas were tested in a community that saw tornado devastation of its own back in 2007.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Debbie Elliott. Officials in southwestern Kansas are looking for survivors of a deadly tornado that struck last night. It virtually destroyed the small farming town of Greensburg. The storm killed at least...
Well, Greensburg right now, the first thing, if you've ever been here before and you drive in, the first thing you notice is there's no trees.
That's Bob Dixon. He's mayor of Greensburg, Kansas, about a two-hour drive west of Wichita. On May 4th, 2007, an EF5 tornado wiped out 95% of his town.
It was on the ground for around a little over 20 miles. And so it was being tracked, and the sirens went off about 20 minutes before it hit town.
Our hearts are heavy for the a loss of life in Greensburg, Kansas.
President George W. Bush and Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius were among those who came to offer disaster aid. The tornado left behind little more than the streets, so Greensburg was a clean slate. Mayor Dixon says that led to a proposal from the governor.
Hey, your name's Greensburg. You have an opportunity to build back green and sustainable and utilize your name and be showcased for what a community can do post-disaster.
5 years after the storm, 10 futuristic-looking windmills, each as tall as a 35-story building, gently turn in the Kansas breeze. This wind farm generates most of the electricity used at Greensburg, including the town hospital.
We had 20 patients, 10 staff members, and about 50 public members in our basement.
Hospital Administrator Mary Sweet was there the night the storm tore through in 2007.
So that night when the tornado hit, every patient, every staff member, public members were downstairs, and not one of them had a scratch on them.
5 years after the storm, Sweet's hospital is powered partly by the wind.
We also have a wind generator on site. This one actually uses all the electricity that's produced and comes straight into the hospital. We're a completely electric facility, so to produce 30% of our power on the days it's blowing is amazing. It saves a lot of money.
This is just one example of what BNIM brought to the table in Greensburg, and many of those ideas are being proposed for Tuscaloosa. The Greensburg plan called for what's referred to as sustainable construction. Examples of that are buildings that are energy efficient through the use of natural lighting and street plans that are walkable and bikeable. It's all okay now, but at first, Bob Dixon says not everybody in Greensburg took to the idea.
Quite frankly, when we first heard green, that conjured up thoughts of 1967 bell-bottom pants, tie-dyed shirt, ponytail.
Eventually, planners hit on a theme that won residents over. Greensburg considers itself a pioneer town that makes its living from farming and natural gas production. Mayor Dixon says the architects played on Greensburg's pioneer spirit.
The old saying we were taught was, if you take care of the land, it takes care of you.
Most of Greensburg was leveled by the storm. However, one building dating back to 1919 survived the disaster and was incorporated into the new city design. Mayor Dixon says the plan also included what he calls the city's pride and joy.
Greensburg's always been known as the largest hand-dug well in the world, and that was our claimed fame and our heritage and our history. And
it's part of the overall plan as well. But even Dixon admits there are things that can't be rebuilt.
We've been working on adrenaline for 4 or 5 years, just getting planning and building and just moving forward. And now we have people that are back to some sense of normalcy, and they're starting to deal with that loss of all their possessions.
With Tuscaloosa observing the first anniversary of last April's storm, Dixon thinks the healing process in Alabama is going to take time as well. Back in the Tuscaloosa City Council chambers, Lib Davis asked her questions about the plans to rebuild in Alberta, and she says she's feeling a bit better now.
I was anticipating seeing maybe some more five-story, high-density student housing buildings. I'm not seeing it, and I'm very pleased with that.
Greensburg's advice to Tuscaloosa is don't make snap decisions and celebrate successes as they come. One thing this little Kansas town has to look forward to is a new visitor center and gift shop for its famous hand-dug water well. Both are set to open week after next, in time for the fifth anniversary of the Greensburg tornado.
Tuscaloosa wasn't the only community hit hard by last April's tornadoes.
Phil Campbell 3 to 911. I got rotation coming through Phil Campbell right now.
I'm Stan Engold, and this was the sound in Phil Campbell 1 year ago. The town of just under 1,000 people south of Florence was hit by an EF5 tornado on April 27th, compared to the EF4 that struck Tuscaloosa.
Get someplace safe!
The roar of that storm still haunts many of the citizens here, but these days, a new sound dominates the scene. Sounds of construction are music to Phil Campbell Police Chief Merrill Potter's ears. Last year on a ride-along, Potter pointed out some hard-to-recognize areas.
Now, what was over in here?
Okay, this was a residential area, and you'll notice there's a couple of FEMA trailers, one off to your left and one right immediately here close to us. This is one of the things that these people are going to be staying. The ones in any FEMA trailers, you can pretty well count that they're going to be here.
The FEMA trailers are gone, and houses are beginning to spring up across the once barren landscape. City Hall's been repaired, and Chief Potter sits behind his desk in an office that still has that freshly painted smell to it. And while there is a lot of new, Potter says the memory of April 27th, 2011 sticks with him.
I relive it every day. Every day that I come to work, I relive the very first day that the tornado hit. Matter of fact, I'm wearing a pin. As you notice, it's a survivor pin that came from the Association of Chiefs of Police from Alabama. I've worn it every day since it happened.
Potter says he plans on replacing that pin on April 27th. The new one commemorates last year's centennial of his town, which should have meant celebration instead of dealing with tragedy. Barely a block away is what many people like to call the heart and soul of Phil Campbell. It's the high school. The main building took serious damage in the storm. For now, local families send their kids to a collection of temporary mobile units for class. Gary Williams is the superintendent of Franklin County Schools. He says plans are underway for a new school building. However, the process has been frustrating.
We don't have any money here in Franklin County to build a school back, so we had to rely on three different entities for our funding, which one was insurance, two was FEMA, and then the state. We had to have the difference. And there's a lot of red tape and hurdles that we've had to go through, but finally we've about reached the point where we can begin.
Because of the red tape, it could take up to 2 years for high school students in Phil Campbell to move out of their trailers and into the new building. Derek Riddle is their assistant principal.
They wanted to get back to normal, get back to just school, and kind of put that behind them. It was such a tragic event that happened, and you know, sometimes it's good just to get back to doing like you normally do and get back in the swing of things and, you know, try to put that behind you and move forward.
Alex Jackson is one of those young people. She's a 10th grader at Phil Campbell High School, and we spoke with her last year.
I watched them get a body out from under a tree, and I mean, it was just like, it just hit me. People are gone. People's houses are gone. Everything's, nothing's going to be the same. I mean, my brother lost two friends, and I mean, I've never seen my brother break down like that. It was hard.
We caught up with Alex a year later to see how she was doing. Following the storm, she was clearly rattled. Now there's resolution in her voice, and a sense that it's now time to move on.
I still think about it. But it's like I don't know how to explain it, but like that's the reason that we're here. It's just like we've came so far, I guess, from pulling bodies and just getting emotionally stable again. And I mean, watching that was hard, but now it's just kind of like, well, it's over. Here we are.
Part of the moving on process for Jackson was the high school band, where she plays saxophone and clarinet. The group took a major hit in the storm. They lost their practice space and most of their instruments were destroyed. Their first concert since the storm was last month in Florence.
They wanted to do this. They wanted to give back to the community as much as they could.
That's band director Bobby Patrick.
They've been in a 25x40 trailer. Waiting, you know, we're practicing. Now I'm telling them there's going to be a concert. We're going to be outside or inside the mall for them to look up and see the crowd that was here, for them to be appreciated the way that they were, and to be able to give that back. They're a great group of caring individuals.
That was one way residents of Phil Campbell wanted to give back. To find another, we went where just about everybody in town goes, to a local cafe called the Chat and Chew. While a fresh batch of hamburgers sizzled on the grill, we sat down with Phil Campbell resident Andrew Reed. He makes documentary films, and he turned his camera on the town before the tornado hit.
So I heard about a guy that was going to be hosting a convention in my hometown of Phil Campbell, where I was currently living, a convention for other people in the world that shared the name Phil Campbell. And when I first heard about the idea, honestly, I thought it was very strange, and I was like, why is this guy doing this?
That led to the documentary, I'm with Phil, which was featured at the George Lindsay Film Festival in Florence in early March.
Hi, I'm Phil Campbell, and I'm committed to helping the town of Phil Campbell.
I'm Philip Campbell,
committed to helping the town of Phil Campbell.
The Phils showed up, and suddenly we had a real cleanup on our hands.
All right, see you later.
In the audience was Bridget Flannery of Los Angeles.
All of this story was completely new to me. I didn't know anything about it, so I was obviously
very touched, but also a bit dismayed that even though it was covered nationally, it didn't seem to. Sometimes there's a ripple effect, and you will continue to hear about a story until everyone's heard about it. And this, unfortunately, didn't make it to my ears and to the ears of my circle.
Efforts are being made to get I'm With Phil before a national audience. Reed says if that ends up happening, the vast majority of any money earned by the film will go to relief efforts for the town. Life is slowly coming back to Phil Campbell, but there is still a long road ahead for the little town with two names, 1 year after the storm.
I'm Maggie Martin in Tuscaloosa. As you heard from Stan Ingold's story, the April 27th tornado impacted whole communities, but there are individual stories of loss and recovery to tell as well.
Careful of the nails right here, all right? The nails and there's glass everywhere.
Steve Miller took us around the shattered remnants of his house just 2 days after the April 27th storms that hit Tuscaloosa. He was still clearly in shock as he picks up debris around his home left by the EF4 tornado that hit his neighborhood.
The sound was the loudest thing that I've ever heard. It was so loud that I couldn't hear it anymore. It became so loud, and mud and dirt and dust were smashing around, flying at us from all directions down there.
The roof is almost completely gone, and all four sides of the home are torn out. Miller also lost a lot of trees, some of which were 100 years old. More than 40 pecan trees in Miller's 5-acre orchard were cut in two. Miller walks up the side door and steps into the house. The windows in every room are completely blown out. Bits of leaves, wood, and dirt lie in the corners of the hallway. Specks of mud are splattered against the white walls.
You might want to come up here. Upstairs, there's a balcony over the kitchen. I'm trying to get a sense of what the backyard is like.
From the balcony, Miller points to the rubble and debris that can be seen for about a mile away.
I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what you do when you have to bulldoze a house down and make it anew when there are hundreds, thousands maybe even of other people in the same situation.
Miller says he'll save whatever he can and incorporate it into his new home, including a clock he spots on the second floor.
I'm gonna carry this old clock down right now. I'd forgotten about it, and I want to save it.
Almost a year after the April 27th tornadoes, the sound of chainsaws is replaced with the sound of hammers and drills. Contractors are working away on the wiring of the house. Steve Miller checks on their progress.
How's that going over there?
Good, good.
Good? You're doing the electrical part,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But April 27th didn't just damage Miller's home. Even now, he says big noises and any sudden changes of weather make him nervous. But he says he's had to put those feelings aside as he pushes ahead.
The big trauma part, that has kind of gone by the wayside as we've had to deal with all the daily situations of building a house. But it rears its head every now and again during stormy weather. If I hear a funny sound, man, it'll send me right back. I think I'm permanently changed in that way.
And the rebuilding process hasn't been without its challenges. The structure of the house is built, but it's completely open. The day before, Miller says someone stole a new bathtub that weighed about 400 pounds.
So, man, I mean, that hurts when you're trying to put things back together again, and then there are people out and about looking for things to take when you're rebuilding. So that was a bit of a bummer. I'm over it now.
But despite the setback, Miller is optimistic and looking forward to moving back home. He didn't lose everything, so his new house will have some of his old stuff. Miller says he hopes to have the house completely finished by the one-year anniversary. He plans to have a party and call it Damn the Tornadoes, full speed ahead. We had production assistance from Kansas Public Radio and the University of North Alabama in Florence. Our executive producer is Elizabeth Brock. I'm Maggie Martin. For Pat Duggins, Ron Vasquez, Stan Ingold, and all of us at Alabama Public Radio, thank you for tuning in, and good night.